The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
This morning, and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. It is Monday, and we have had a weekend full of news. It has been, what a time it has been. So let's start the show off with some happiness, some good news. I want to say happy belated birthday to Reverend Kelly Jolly. I want to say thank you, and thank you to her family for always creating a warm space for the Reverend's friends. Just had a good time this weekend. I want to say thank you again, and hello to the Reverend Kelly Jolly family. I also want to say what a pleasure it was seeing Erica Morris this morning. Hey, Erica Morris, it's always great seeing you, and it's even better when we hear you, because you always working to help people advance themselves. You're always working to find and secure opportunities, making opportunities accessible for people, particularly our young people. I also want to say good morning to Pam Turnquest, number one newspaper seller. But more importantly, congratulations on your special anniversary, 5 years of health and wellness. And we all say good morning and congratulations to you. Today's show is a What's in the News show. I invite you to call in and tell me what's in the news. This morning, I have a lot of things I would like to talk about. Of course, I'm open to you sharing what you want to talk about. I got to touch on a couple things from last week and a couple things from this week. If you want to call in to join the conversation, you could call us at 323-6232, 325-4316, or 325-4259. And our text line is 422-4796. That's 422-4796. And one of the things I see in the paper this morning is the story on the front page of The Guardian. Grocers push back. Association says no to price control changes. And I just want to remind the grocers, I want to remind those people who are in the merchant class, who perceive themselves to be in the merchant class. Yes, absolutely. Balance must be struck, right? There must be economic balance for businesses to survive. But you shall not be treating Bahamians and your customers like they are just cogs, inconsequential cogs in your personal Ponzi schemes. Okay? So we have a lot of that been going on for decades and decades. Unregulated markets, right? Now, it's obvious that this process could have been better, right? To hear stakeholders indicate that they were not aware the changes were going to be made until the announcement was made in the media. First of all, that's the song of my people, right? At least that's the song of my government. So we get that. It's not enough time. They barely give us enough time for anything. But this pushback, I think this pushback is unbalanced and inappropriate. We need regulated markets. We are a collective economy. There has to be balance. And the merchant class and the political class, when they team up to give the merchant class access to the opportunities they need to maintain and sustain their wealth, right? You guys can no longer continue to use Bahamians as cogs in your personal Ponzi schemes. We need infrastructural reform. We need policy reform. We need regulatory reform. We want to live like the big shots. We want to pretend like we're just as good as anybody else in the developed world, but we refuse to do, to engage the actual process of development. I just wanted to touch on that for a moment. Caller, I got a couple more things. I just wanted to touch on that. Let me dive into a couple of these things before we get started. At the end of my Friday show, I got a text. An audience member was very upset at me that I didn't make a space to talk about the alleged suicide that took place. I think that would have been on Thursday. And so I wanted to talk about that. I got a couple of headlines here that I think are very interesting things that we need to focus on. There's been obviously an increase in violence. It appears, we're not quite certain yet, I'm not sure if we're doing any actual studies or interrogations, that we used to rest comfortable. Oh, this is gang violence, and I'm not involved in the gang, so it has nothing to do with me. But I think the pattern of motives behind these crimes have shifted, and we need to pay serious attention to them. So I want to start with the story that the texter drew my attention to. Police investigate alleged suicide. Police are investigating an alleged suicide in which a male juvenile was the reported victim. Preliminary reports indicated that shortly before 4 p.m. on Thursday, police were notified of the incident, which occurred at a residence in Adastra Estates, New Providence. Consultant psychiatrist Dr. John Dillard on Friday explained that with children and adolescents, socialization is extremely important. He said for many of them, with school being virtual, many social events being either postponed or canceled, or with there being limited access, that age group has been much affected. I want to stick a pin here. Let's not act like children aren't actual humans. The very same issues that adults have had to deal with, children have also had to deal with. It's not just, oh, well, they didn't get to go to the Jamarama, they didn't get to go to the school fair, the church fair this year. No, it's angst, it's dread, it's fear of uncertainty and anxiety, right? Their worlds are closed off. So if their home environment is insular, whatever abuses they experience in that space is less likely to be detected because they've been sort of stuck in that space for a long time. It's not just that they didn't get a chance to socialize. I know that's not what Dr. John Dillard is saying. I'm just putting that out there. The article continues, this incident follows other alleged suicides in the country recently. Among them was the suicide of Anthony Tilme, who was found with cable wires wrapped around his neck early last month at Kelly Lane. The month before, police were investigating an incident in August in the Carmichael Road area. Initial information suggested a man in his early 20s was found unresponsive, hanging with a sheet around his neck. Then this came after another alleged suicide occurred in late July, when around 7 p.m., police responded to a report of a man hanging from a property in the area of Marathon Road, north of Robinson Road. There's been a definite increase in alleged suicides. I say alleged because we still have to wait for the completion of an investigation, for the determination that it was suicide. I think this is important as well. But I wanted to sort of stick this word in here. Mental health and wellness, psychological health, emotional health. These are all important issues that we do not pay sufficient attention to in this town. But I want to pay attention to another part of the dynamic. We've come to this place where we recognize depression as a disease. And I want to say that depression is a symptom of a disease. People are rightly depressed in this current political and economic system. To suggest that somebody is struggling with something that they shouldn't be struggling with is inane. It is madness. It is reckless. And I can be honest with you, it's immoral, because what we're doing is we are shifting our responsibility as a collective onto the individual. I have grown up in this country, and my entire conscious life, the electricity bill has been the same as the mortgage or the rent bill for the majority of people, for the majority of people. See, that's what an energy crisis is. Your light bill is the same as your rent or your mortgage. We've created a society where we tell young people two women can't live in the same house, and you can't be man if you can't turn your own lock, because you ain't turning my lock and calling yourself man. In a country where not only do we have a housing crisis, we have a shortage on inventory, right? But in a country where we prioritize the housing of foreigners and strangers over our own citizens. And everywhere everybody turns, there's no real actual help. You're offering mortgages to people who can't afford to get a loan to go on vacation. That is a depressing reality. Not an illusion, not a state of mind. That is the reality. Watching politicians eat 7 and 8 meats while your children have to take off their shoes and socks to walk barefoot to their school every day can be very depressing. There is more crime news from the Nassau Guardian. A 22-year-old woman was shot and killed outside an apartment complex in Redland Acres. This weekend, the victim was reportedly standing outside the complex when she was approached and subsequently shot multiple times by a man who exited a Japanese vehicle. That was a breaking news alert by The Guardian earlier in the weekend. More news we see in today's paper. Woman shot dead on the front fold of The Guardian. You could follow up on that story there. There is a second story. Police investigate homicide in Elizabeth Estate Saturday night. See, that's the first headline that I got. Police investigate homicide in Elizabeth Estate Saturday night. The second headline is one I see in today's Guardian. Policeman kills man on bail for murder. I want you all to note the stark difference between those two headlines. I'm going to stick a pin. Producer, let's go to this call. Good morning, caller. You're on the clock.
Good morning, this is Doc in Voice along with you, Aaron Pretty Eyes Grant.
Good morning, Brayman. How you doing?
Boy, we need justice, law, and order in this country. You know, waking up on this morning hearing about the two other murders, it caused me to think this is a sad country. You know what I'm saying? But what I really want to ask you, right?
Mm-hmm.
What evidence do you have that those people had killed themselves?
I don't, and that's what I'm saying. I don't have any evidence, and that's why the media reports continue to say alleged suicide, because we don't make that determination. I think the coroner makes that determination, and then we are informed of the determination and what led to the determination. But I don't think we've gotten that for any of these cases, and I think it's important. We know that there's been a stark increase in suicides throughout the region, A. B. We know that suicide, while it's increasing, is not prevalent in Bahamian culture and experience. At least we don't think so. We
but
also
I want
know.
To say
hold
something.
On. Hold on. I know. Well, give okay. me a second. We also know that assailants attempt to cover up their crime by making it appear as if somebody committed suicide. Right? And then there are instances where somebody may have overdosed and it could appear to be a suicide. So it's important to make that determination.
You know, I had called the police around about 1 a.m. Saturday, Sunday morning, right?
Yes, sir.
And the police was carrying on with me as if I was bugging.
Bothering
yeah,
them.
Yeah. I said, look, man, I'm not breaking any law. So the police need the police.
Thank you,
Bremen.
I know what you
force need a rerun.
Thank you. Well, thank you, Bremen. Listen, the police force need plenty, plenty things. They are stressed out. Right? They are stressed out. I would say in many instances they are not prepared because they are not being prepared psychologically to handle the vast majority of things they face on a daily basis. All right, I got a text here that says, hi, great show. Congrats to the Elizabeth Estate hero. That's a very strong text there. Text, I just want you to know that we're going to talk about it. Another text, Aaron, the lady on Dwight's show said that it is these activists that scares the Haitian community, saying they are stateless and can't get a passport to go to college. Well, I didn't hear that portion of the show. That's something very interesting to talk about. See, not all Haitian migrants here that want to stay or that are claiming some sense of belonging, not all of them are stateless. But statelessness does occur. It can occur, and it is occurring right now. You know? Absolutely. So let's get back to where we stopped. The Eyewitness News headline read, police investigate homicide in Elizabeth Estate Saturday night. The headline today says, policeman kills man on bail for murder. This is what I read from Eyewitness News. Police investigate homicide. The victim attempted to rob woman coming out of car. She alerted family members. The victim was shot by family member thwarting robbery. I put that thwarting. Nobody said thwarting. I put that together. Robbery, right? Bang. So I'm listening to the news report from, I think it was on the Eyewitness feed. And I just keep hearing the police press representatives talking about the suspect being shot. Surely the suspect is the person who shot the victim. See, we got, if the story is correct, we got two sets of victims here, right? We have the person who allegedly attempted to rob the woman. Right? That person is both suspect in the robbery, right? And victim in the homicide. Why, when you're speaking about the killing, are you referring to the person who got killed as the suspect? Because surely the person who killed them and said that they killed them is also a suspect. And isn't that important for the proper processing of this case? I had a couple of questions that came up. The first question that came up is, Aaron, why are you talking about this? The second question that came up is, again, why did the police continuously call the victim, the homicide victim, the suspect, and never reference the person who actually committed the homicide as a suspect? B, did the victim have a gun? Or was the victim or was the victim killed with the homeowner slash family member's weapon? These are all important questions that need to be answered. Now, let me tell you why. Because you're innocent until proven guilty. That's why. That's the rule of law. And the rule of law is the foundation upon which the country stands. Which is why when the former prime minister had the audacity to get up in the House and suggest that he gonna have to breach the Constitution to run the country properly, a whole bunch of crazy people just got up and said, no, shut that line of conversation down. It makes no sense. Who advised you to say that? It contradicts the rule of law. Anyway, before I go to this caller and these texts, it's a lot of violence happening. There's a lot of violence happening. And then I saw this story coming out of Jamaica. Headline, Jamaica bans music and TV glorifying crime. Jamaica's Broadcasting Authority has banned content that glorifies illegal activity, such as drug and gun use. The new rules cover TV and radio, including music, and list specific topics that are off limits. Scamming, drug abuse, and the illegal use of firearms cannot be promoted. And swearing or near-sounding replacements are also banned. So before I go to this call, I'm going to throw this question out there. Do you think the Jamaican state can enforce that law, especially considering their constitution? I think section access to information, section 13.3 C and D says all persons in Jamaica are entitled to the right to freedom of expression and the right to seek, receive, distribute, or disseminate information, opinions, and ideas through any media. Can the state enforce that law? Let's go to this caller. Good morning, caller. You're on the clock.
Good morning, Aaron. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. How you do?
I'm all right. I'm glad you're talking about grammar this morning.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you listened to a recording about 2 weeks ago done with the Commissioner of Police and the host.
Mm-hmm. No, I didn't.
And to listen to him speak, I'm not trying to knock him or anything, but I thought his grammar was so atrocious. Until sometimes they need to practice before they go on the air.
Mm-hmm.
Because to listen to the commissioner speak is almost listening like listening to Hubert Ingram when he say toilet and oil and oil. These are supposed to be learned and educated men.
Yes.
But they're speaking for us.
Yes.
But they need a quick class in grammar and pronunciation and the nouns and the pronouns, the adverbs, and all of these things.
Yes, sir.
I mean, I cringe when I heard him speak on that talk show.
I understand.
Every sentence he used, something was wrong with it.
I understand. And like you say, it's practice, preparation.
Yeah. Man, they got to understand. The children of today need to realize how important it is to learn their lesson in school.
Yes, sir.
Because they need to sometimes play these recordings in the classroom and let them then find out what is wrong and what the man said wrong. So they can learn where to put the S, the TH, the EZ, and all these things.
Yes, sir. Absolutely.
Play these same things so they can listen to their leader speak. And one or two might pay attention to their English class.
Absolutely.
All right.
Thank you. It is very important. And in this particular instance, the clear dissemination of information, ensuring that you are conveying to the public the truth, or more importantly, what it is you intend to convey. Sometimes, you know, we're talking about the police. That is very impossible. All right, I got a text here in reference to the Jamaica music ban. They say that will be impossible to mandate. Now, mind you, it's just television and radio, right? It is just television and radio. And so it's not DJs, it's not parties, it's not, I don't think it's a restaurant playing music from their own private sound system. All right, I got a text here. Good morning, Aaron. Elizabeth Estates is a small knitted community. Do you really think that is what happens? heard that. Okay, I'm not going to read that part out loud, but I am aware of the things being said in social media. I'm not going to read what you texted here, though, texter, but thank you for sharing it. Just tuned in, sounds like you're talking about self-defense. I mean, that's what it sounds like I'm talking about. And the point that I'm making is that the choice of language by the police force strongly suggests that's what we're talking about. And the question is, if they use the appropriate language in this situation, would we be left with the same impression? Right? And so they link it back to what the caller was saying. We're not saying that the Queen's English is the only English to be spoken or you are improper. What we're saying is that in specific situations, the proper use of language is paramount. It's so important. And paramount may not even have been the right word I was looking for. It's integral. It's the most important thing. Aaron, the guy lived Nassau Village, took a gun to rob someone in Lizzie. So how is he the murdered victim? I really think you are very lost sometimes. He was robbing. I didn't say that he was the murder victim. I said he was a homicide victim. Right? So you remember when I told you all that it's important for the police and the media to make a distinction between homicide and murder? Dear texter, I never said he was the murdered victim. I said he was a homicide victim. Watch this. A homicide is a killing. A murder is a specific type of killing. All murders are homicides. Not all homicides are murders. Right? The person who committed the homicide is still a suspect until the proper determinations have been made. This is the proper processing of things. And if you don't think this is important, ask yourself, how do all the people who could afford all the good lawyers get off of what appear to be blatantly obvious cases? How? Because we don't pay attention to the details. We think they are inconsequential. That's how, texter. But thank you for the text, because you provided an opportunity to expand and expound on that's a fancy word. Fancy people like to use that. It just means to expand on what I was saying. Text, Aaron. Aaron, I think you do more for your guests besides airing them out, which is great. If the caller complained about poor treatment from the police, kindly give him the number for the police corruptions unit and inform him to report the police officer once he gets their name and badge ID. We need more than talk these days. Trust me, Brayman knows the procedure. And I know the procedure. And let me tell you something. Plenty of people know the procedure. I will query whether the people at the police corruptions unit know the procedure. Brayman was not off base. Many of us, when we call the police, you know, get the sense that police are frustrated that we're calling. Like, why can't you handle these little matters on your own? Well, we're tired of eating our feelings and our losses when there's actually people who get paid to help us resolve these matters. Dear texter, thank you very much. Thank you, though. And it said, Aaron, I agree, the Commissioner of Police needs a grammar lesson and pronunciation lessons. All officers need that. Because every officer can write a ticket. And every officer can write I'm not sure if every officer, but the vast majority of officers write reports. They write the report and then they make you sign it. I almost get locked up in Cable Beach Station because I refused to sign a statement that a police officer had written, right? Because I'm telling him what happened and he's writing it down. I refused to sign it. And he threatened that I could get lockup for not signing it. And I had to tell him, first of all, I didn't say anything you wrote down there. And I don't know how you came to the conclusion that that's what I said sitting right across the table from you. It should be a part of the training. It helps for better communication. Another text, oh my goodness, they can't do that. After the break, I'm going to read that text. Good morning, caller. Are you on the clock?
Yes, good morning, Erin.
How are you doing?
Fine, thank you. This is like my third time calling you. You have been for so long.
I'm sorry.
I'm your very first caller this morning.
I apologize.
No problem. I was listening to the points that you were giving, which was good.
Thank you.
My thing was, you were talking about the grocers early this morning that made the complaint. My thing is, I don't think the Prime Minister should have made that comment or statement until he had consulted with them first.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they're watching their bottom line and saying how the prices of stuff is going up, and specifically talked about DC and all those other stuff where they're not watching their staff bottom line, where their bills are also going up, but their salary isn't.
Uh-huh.
You see, so but they're complaining when the staff hit them, but there's no complaint when it hits the staff.
Yeah.
Okay, and my second thing was about what Mr. Watson, Trent Watson said concerning the fact that the women's rights group aren't speaking out for women's rights concerning the marital rape thing. I don't know which country he was in for the last few months.
He'd been in Dubai.
Oh, yes.
We got to look at their tourism product because that boy, he been here, but his heart in Dubai.
He did that on South Africa, hey?
Yeah. Yeah.
Somewhere really, 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 really far that doesn't get our radio station.
Yes, because ma'am.
For him to say something like that, and I think you all need to call him out on that, because as a press secretary, he tends to make that mistake a lot.
Yes.
I don't know if he's just there for the glorified position or he's actually doing something, but somewhere along the line, he's being miscommunicated to, or he's just miscommunicating to the public as if,
right,
we're not here listening to what's going on around us. We just wait to hear from him.
Now, there's one option, and I'll give him the benefit of the doubt, right?
Mm-hmm.
See, sometimes the government can't look you in your face and tell you what to do. Sometimes they get a, you know, like it's one time I was talking about human rights breaches, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then I was talking about it because it was an international issue. And the Attorney General at the time, Alison Maynard Gibson, made this statement. She said, there are no documented cases of human rights breaches in the Bahamas, right? And I had to respond with, there are no documented cases because there's no official mechanism to document cases. I spoke to the Honorable AG, former Honorable, former AG, and, we talked about it, and she said, actually, I was trying to goosey y'all. I couldn't come out and say it, but I needed to find a way to spark the conversation to say, y'all need to now lobby for a mechanism to officially document human rights breaches. And I'm hoping that Clint Watson was attempting, right, to do us a solid. He was attempting to say to us, listen, all y'all got to do now is flood the media with engagement and stories. So that the government
can
say?
The media has been flooded.
I mean, it ain't flood, you know, but they've been there.
You can always do more, but come on now.
Yeah.
I think you need to be honest. In my view, I see that as being manipulating and lying.
Because I was about to say, the Crisis Center has been advocating on this particular issue for decades, with its partners, right? For decades. And the Crisis Center is partnering with the government. They are part of their crime committee. So how is it that you weren't aware that one of your partners been working on this issue for decades?
But they just had a town hall meeting with the partners, didn't they?
Yes, ma'am.
But so he don't know none of this. But I mean, Dubai really did something on him.
Well, I mean, because, you know, ma'am. I mean, let's get into it just before we go to a break. Equality Bahamas has been coming on my show for the last year and 2/3 of a year, right? They've been on Morning Blend repeatedly over the last few years, specifically speaking about marital rape. And on my show and over the last year, minimally, they've been talking about the Strike 5 campaign, which is a marital rape campaign. I'm not quite sure. Like I say, I want to give Mr. Watson the benefit of the doubt, because none of what he said actually made sense. We're going to a break. When we come back from the break, we've got more texts. Hopefully we got more calls and we got more stories. You're on the clock. Stay tuned. Guardian Radio 96.9 FM.
Fidelity's free Women Plus seminar is back. Join us on Saturday, October 29th at the Bahama Convention Center, where leading professionals will give you the hard facts on topics like
How to Be Rich 101, How Your Mental and Emotional Health Impact Financial Health, and What I Wish Women Knew About Men,
and How to Get Their Money. This free, life-changing event is for women and men. The seminar includes breakfast, 8 sessions, plus over $8,000 in prizes and surprises. Registration and breakfast begins at 8 a.m., with sessions from 9:30 a.m. to 2 p.m.
Space is limited. So register now for free at fbbwomenplus.com.
No matter who I marry, no matter where my wife gives birth, our children will be Bahamian, like me.
If I marry a man who's not Bahamian, I have to give birth in the Bahamas, or my children won't even be Bahamian like I am.
That don't even make sense.
That's why we had the referendum in 2016.
But the people vote no.
The government can still do something about it with ordinary legislation. And it needs to develop an action plan and timeline to hold another referendum to deal with gender inequality in the Constitution.
Oh, we can make that happen.
Go to tiny.cc/nationality to support the campaign for equal nationality rights by Equality Bahamas.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Good morning and welcome back. You're on the clock with Erin Green. We are on Guardian Radio. Okay, a couple of texts. Good morning. Training is what they need. One officer told me one day, you lucky I don't have my ticket book. So I said, officer, why did you make a sudden stop if you don't have your ticket book? See, because he's supposed to like give you a warning, right? Like he could give you a warning. Police should start doing that. They should start giving, moderate the behavior. But I agree with you. I got, look here. Oh, I spent 3 years going to magistrate court because officers stopped me with no ticket book, no radio, no gun, no nothing. Okay, another text. These groups are just like a nagging wife with this topic of rape. Jeez. Clint Watson, they use B. This is his text. Erin, we don't need any more talk about this marital rape. Seriously, I'm tired of this subject and it need to be archived. I don't know why these women won't get the picture. The government had more pressing things. These groups are just like a nagging wife with this topic of rape. Jeez. I heard that. It's like, I mean, if one out of 100 women are being raped, is that enough for us to be concerned about? And I just want you all to hear yourselves when you say that. Right? Of course, it's important. What do you mean? If you're going to lock me up for hitting somebody, in fact, let me tell you all something about the common law. The common law says you cannot consent to an assault. That's what it says. You cannot consent to an assault. Why would that change for married people? Anyway. What if, guys, when you go and you take the marriage vows, and I'm saying this like very respectfully because I'm not married and apparently I can't talk about marital rape because I'm not married. But what if when you're giving when you're saying the vows and you say for better or worse, what if the worse is indefinite periods of celibacy? What if that's all it is? Why are you telling women in particular, because you ain't telling men this, why are you telling women that if their husband come home and for some reason he can't hear no and he take it, right? That's your language. Or he box you upside your head a couple of times and he take it, right? Like that's for worse and you should be willing to take that because you vowed to do that, right? You vowed to accept the worst. Why does that have to be the worst? Why the worst can't just be, look here, my wife does not want to have sex with right now, right? Don't say with me, because she could only have sex with you. She don't want to have sex right now, and I need to figure out what it is, because I would hate to think that I am pressuring, coercing, or begging my wife for sex when she's having a medical or psychological issue at this time renders her unable to engage in intimacy even with her significant other. Like, why is Miss Hold This Beaten the worst that you are forcing us to accept? See, let me read from this article. Watson accuses women's groups of being silent on marital rape. I told you all about Equality Bahamas' Strike 5 campaign, right? Which is all you have to do is remove those five words from the act to ensure that anybody could be charged with rape, no matter the status of their relationship. Yeah. Office of the PM, press secretary, accused women's groups of being quiet on marital rape, charging that the only voice missing in the conversation is theirs, not the prime minister's. You sure? It's theirs? I could only speak for the groups I'm intimately aware of. You sure you couldn't hear Equality Bahamas or Alicia Wallace talking about this? You certain? Quote, the cries of the organizations are what's missing. Oh, is it that we're not begging? I say we, because I've been a part of this advocacy for a while, you know, but especially before I came on the radio show when I took a step back. The cries of the organizations are what's missing, not the reporters who are asking the questions every week, but the people who actually protect women and work with women. Silence. Okay, see, right there I was with you, because the police and the government actually protect women. That's your job. Yeah? When women cannot protect themselves, it is the role of the state and the police to protect them, along with community support. And yes, I agree with you, Mr. Watson. They are silent. Many of them are silent because they are compromised. Many of them are silent because they're not actually aware of their obligations. Ooh, it is 10:52. Good morning, caller. You are on the clock. I am sorry, caller. Please call back. Another text. You know what? Since we can't stop talking about these trivial items, let's be innovative and be the first country to ban legally binding religious marriages. I am going to express something to you here, texter. Rape is not a trivial matter. See, when it's little children being raped and molested, it's not a trivial matter. When we turned the offense of statutory rape into unlawful sexual intercourse, it was not a trivial matter, although it appears as if we're attempting to trivialize it. But now, and I'm going to go out on a limb and say this, now that we are talking about men who think they can rape their wives or have raped their wives, it's trivial. When many of these men are in this dysfunctional state because of unprocessed trauma as children, like rape, like watching their mothers and sisters be raped continuously, yep, it is not a trivial matter. Now, we talk about legally binding religious marriages. You know, you can't just, there is no such thing as like a legally binding religious marriage. You can't have a marriage unless the state say you're married. Hey, that's what you all say. That's what you all say. So you can't bind religious marriages, because a religious marriage isn't an official marriage until they go to the state. Another text. Good morning, Aaron. What's the farmer saying about the price control items? Can farmers survive making 15 cents on $1.15 green peppers, chicken, eggs, limes, etc., all added to new price control? Sounds infeasible. I'm going to be honest with you. We need some price control in the agricultural sector right away, my friend. So you're talking about green peppers. We're talking about things like green peppers, tomatoes, onions, right? That's what everybody grows. That market is regulated. You're going to have to figure out how to bring your costs down on those peppers, because trust me, the people them could import peppers to your country cheaper than the best pepper farmer, and I'm telling you this from personal experience, that company could import peppers cheaper than the best pepper farmer in your country could, that it cost them to grow it and drive it up the road to their company. We got to go to a break. When we get back from the break, we get back on the clock. Stay tuned. Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM.
Unequal gender nationality law is a violation of human rights and a failure of the government to meet its obligations. In 2018, the CEDAW Committee told the Bahamas to set a clear time frame for constitutional reform, to integrate the principle of gender equality into all laws, and to amend the Bahamas Nationality Act 1973 for Bahamian women and men to transmit citizenship on an equal basis. Join Equality Bahamas in demanding action now. Visit tiny.cc/nationality for more.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Good morning and welcome back. You're on the clock. We are just closing down the show. I've got some texts here. It says, Aaron, you had a woman guest on your show that said there are men who are being raped and abused by women, but the number's too small to be focused on. She said that. No, that's not what she said. That's not what she said. She said, like, let's talk about proportionality. She said, yes, men are being raped and abused by women, but the numbers are so disproportionate, right? Like, out of every 100 rape victims, 98 are women and 2 are men. She said, that's why we're focusing on women. And she said, it's important for men to focus on men. Like, why you gonna beat up the woman them because you don't think they have rights, but since you're all working towards rights, why you don't work towards these rights for men too? Another text, Aaron, chicken eats almost anything. Why don't we have more farms there? We paying too much money for chicken and eggs. It is ridiculous. See, we got an energy crisis, man, and we got a housing crisis. The cost of energy is inflated like the salaries at the top of the company that produces it. The cost of housing is inflated, and so the price of everything is inflated. But really, the answer is a lack of organization and coordination. That's why we're paying too much money for chicken and eggs. A lack of organization and coordination, and I mean from the state down. Another text, relative to the larger issues the country and society is facing, yes, it is a trivial matter because they choose to remain there. That's a personal choice, and statutory rape is not real rape. It's actually diminishes rape, which is forced sexual intercourse. Let's be logical. Dear texter, put logic aside. There's all kinds of logic. There's PLP logic, there's FNM logic, there's Bahamian logic, where we have more dollars than cents and try to solve our problems with money. Let's put all of those aside. Rape is a trivial matter. Look around you. The Bahamas has the highest stats for rape in the region, and we have stupidly high stats for child rape. And when you look around you, you witness the lives of people who have experienced rape. And you ask yourself, where is all of the dysfunction in this society coming from? It's coming from lives that are rooted in unprocessed trauma and dysfunction. It is not a trivial matter. Another text, Morning Lady Green, marital rape is an agenda of same-sex marriages of 2000. This is not the ordinance of Jehovah God Almighty. Repent, Bahamas, repent, from Grand Bahama. I'm going to say it again. What if in the vow, when they say, for better or worse, the worse is indefinite periods of celibacy because your partner doesn't want to have sex with you right now? What if that was the worst it had to be? Last text, that's why I think price control will hurt local farmers' green peppers. It costs locals, for example, $1.50 to grow the pepper, but the import could be 60 cents cost, so if the markup is locked in at 15%. Farmers can grow the peppers for cheaper. They can. I promise you. It can be done. Just need to organize and do it. We are all out of time. And Mr. Cecil Newry on Guardian Radio AM has a fire show lined up for you. I can see by the guests in the producer's room. You've been on the clock. Thank you for calling. I apologize if I missed your calls. Call back tomorrow. It's going to be another hot, fiery show. I mean, it's winter now. It's not going to be hot. It's going to be cool. Stay tuned. Have a great day, Bahamas.